Hello, podcast world. If you follow my podcast regularly, you might be wondering where the heck I've been. Well, I'm glad you asked, because for the last 6 months, I've been working on the manuscript for a book. It's called A New Way of Seeing Just About Everything, and I am really excited about it. We're getting all the final details done, and we hope to get it published by early in July. It'll be available on Amazon in paperback or Kindle and also in audio. And for all my South African family, you'll be able to buy it paperback on Takealot. So getting this book out is like a bucket list item for me, and I'm really amped to share it with you. So watch this space. But for now, welcome to Deeply Spiritual But Rather Uncertain. I consider myself a progressive Christian. In all the work that I've done, especially over the past 5 years or so when it comes to my Christianity, I realize that I have shifted significantly. It's been a slow, gradual shift, but it's been pretty significant nevertheless. These days, I identify less and less with my evangelical roots, but strongly with a progressive Christian point of view. The shift didn't happen because one day I woke up and decided to change everything I believed. It was a journey that I happened upon. It was a journey that I believe God has led me on. In all of my wanderings, I've never been tempted to abandon the idea of Christianity. Now, I know that some people do that, and I certainly don't judge them, because after all, it's just a label. And I'm deeply aware that that label carries some serious baggage. But maybe it's because of my strong heritage, or maybe my personality, I don't know, but I've never felt the need or the desire to abandon the label of Christian, because at its core, Christianity is about Jesus. And I'm all in for Jesus, so I choose to keep that label. But I have felt the need to redefine what Christianity means to me. I think it's also important to understand that progressive Christianity is not a defined thing. It's not a denomination or an association of churches. There are no bishops, no network, no apostles or prophets. It's more about a way of seeing the world, Christianity, the work of Jesus, the Bible, and all the things that we deem as important. When it comes to denominations, there are defined structures, practices, and beliefs that make you Assembly of God, for example, or Baptist or Methodist. In the United Methodist Church, there's a book of discipline that defines what it means to be United Methodist. Of course, there's been a lot of debate around that in the United Methodist Church in recent days. But being a progressive Christian, or even being an evangelical Christian, or being a charismatic Christian, is not a defined, organized group. It's a lens through which we see the world and the things of Christianity. It's about how we read and interpret the Bible. It's about where we put our focus. It's about the lens through which we see pretty much everything. Without getting deep into the weeds, there are denominations that would also carry the lens of evangelicalism or progressivism, and there's overlap between them, but the point is that this is not a structure. It is a lens through which we see the world. Let me say right up front that I'm not here to trash the evangelical lens, but I use it as an example of what I'm talking about because it certainly is the lens that I'm most familiar with, and I guess that's probably the lens most of you are familiar with. I think at its core, the lens through which evangelicals see the world is based on the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, We are all born into sin and need a Savior. Without a Savior, we are all destined for hell. There is a problem of separation that needs to be solved. So we look at the world and everything in it through that lens. Why are there natural disasters? Because the world is broken. Why is there evil? Because we are all separated from God. Why did Jesus die? To atone for our sin. I think that even the way we understand and interpret the Bible is affected by that lens. So what is the gospel? It's that all are sinful and need a Savior. What is the kingdom of God? It's the place where the redeemed of God end up after they die. But somewhere along the way, that lens stopped working for me. It seemed like it was a lens based on fear. Is my salvation secure? Am I good enough? Have I witnessed to enough people? Have I obeyed everything today? Am I in the right job? Did I find the perfect Proverbs 31 wife? And at some point, that lens just quit working, at least for me. While I'm not nearly as versed in the progressive lens, I think that at its core, it's the opposite of evangelicalism. The lens of progressivism, at least as I see it, is that you were not separated from God and you never have been. There is no problem that needs to be solved. And when you look at everything you have always believed through that lens, rather than the lens that we're all separated from God, everything changes. I mean, just think about it. If we're not separated from God, and we never have been, what does that mean when it comes to who Jesus is? Or why Jesus came in the first place? I mean, what does that do to things like the gospel or the kingdom of God? It just changes everything. And that's why many people would consider progressive Christianity a different religion altogether. But I don't think so. Being a Christian is about being a follower of Christ. At least the few times the word shows up in the New Testament, that's what it's talking about. It doesn't lay out a set of beliefs or creeds that make one Christian. That came way later in the history of the church. It may seem to some that progressive Christianity takes a low view of the Bible. I do not believe that's true at all. I have always loved the Bible, and I still do. It's not any less important to me than it has always been. Now, progressives don't believe in the inerrancy or infallibility of the Bible, but I don't think that's the thing that people get hung up on. I know plenty of evangelicals who don't believe that the Bible is inerrant or infallible. But I do think that how literally we take the Bible is in question. The question is, did everything the Bible says happen actually happen? I don't think so. But I'm not sure what did happen and what didn't. I mean, did Jesus really do all those miracles, or are those just stories? I don't know. But to be honest, it doesn't really matter. And I think that's the posture that most progressive Christians take. Personally, I like to believe that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and that he changed water into wine. But if somehow I found out that he didn't, it wouldn't matter at all. Because if we focus on did it happen or not, we miss the truth in the story. The truth in the story is not dependent on whether it actually happened or not. I choose to find truth in the stories of Jesus, truth that I can follow. Now, let me see if I can give you my theory on why the lens that we see all this through matters so much. Remember, The modern Christian lens is that there's a problem that needs to be solved. We are separated from God, and Jesus is the answer to that problem. But if Jesus didn't really raise Lazarus from the dead, then maybe Jesus can't actually solve the problem of sin. And so the story of Lazarus has to be taken literally. But if my lens is that we are not separated from God, and we never were, then whether or not it happened historically is way less critical. I think the other reason that people think progressive Christians have a low view of Scripture revolves around authority. Is the Bible authoritative? But that is such a loaded question. It is almost impossible to answer, because when people say that, what they're actually saying is that their view as to how to interpret the Bible or what you must believe, that is what is authoritative. That is what you must believe. So they call their view the truth. And they use phrases like biblical authority or the biblical view of marriage or sexuality or whatever. And progressive Christians reject that idea of authority. But with that said, if one takes the Bible seriously, then of course it should have some authority in your life, but not so much in terms of what you believe, but in terms of how you actually live. All of the progressive Christians that I know take very seriously the truth of Scripture and how that is to be lived out in their lives. So then that might lead to the question, well, can you believe anything and still be a Christian? And it's a question that I would have asked before for sure. But I think the progressive question is more like, so then what does it look like to be a follower of Christ? Maybe love over judgment? Inclusivity over exclusivity, kindness over, I don't know, being a jerk. In preparing for this podcast, I read a lot of blogs online written by prominent Christian leaders and on prominent Christian websites that said that progressives only want to talk about love. Love, love, love. And if you ask me, it's kind of what being a follower of Christ looks like, isn't it? In fact, John records Jesus saying that it's our love that actually defines whether we're Christians or not, not our belief. In my book that's coming out in July, I argue that the modern Christian lens of who's in and who's out is a lens that leads us to us and them. It leads us to define who's in and who's out. And we have code language for this us and them. We talk about believers and non-believers. We talk about the saved and the unsaved. Sometimes we say we love the sinner, but we hate the sin. It's very us and them language. And I would argue that the lens of the progressive Christian, that we're not separated from God and that we never were, leads to inclusion. Nobody is out. Everybody is in, because everybody is a child of God. Everybody is created in God's image. There's no us and them. There's only we. Inclusion is a very important part of the progressive Christian message, which is probably why I'm very attracted to it. I've never met a progressive Christian that would say that the queer community is not included. But I should say, and this is important, that one doesn't have to be a progressive Christian to be fully inclusive of our queer siblings. I know plenty of people that deeply identify with evangelical theology, but are still fully inclusive. But I haven't met a person who identifies with the progressive movement that is not fully inclusive of the LGBTQIA+ community. Maybe they're out there, but I certainly haven't met them. The lens of evangelical Christianity logically leads us to evangelism. I mean, why wouldn't it? If you believe that your friend is lost and going to hell, and you have the answer, why not share it? Why not spend your life telling people what you believe? I mean, that's the Great Commission, right? Sharing the gospel, this lens through which we see everything. So then what does the Great Commission for progressive Christian look like? My pastor loves to say that the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel, is human flourishing. God's desire is human flourishing. And God's call to us, our commission, is to be part of human flourishing in the world. God's desire should be our desire. Human flourishing for every human being, no matter who they are, what they believe, where they come from, or who they love. And I think that's at the heart of progressive Christianity. And I think that is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. There is so much more I could say about all of this. But for now, I think I'm going to leave it there, because today was really kind of a precursor, kind of an introduction to a series that I'm going to do over the next few weeks. I'm not sure what I'm going to call it yet. Maybe something like Old Sermons, New Lens. But I don't know. Anyway, I want to take some of my very favorite Bible passages and look at them through a progressive lens. I'm going to start with Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then we'll see where we go from there. So as I wrap this up for this week, let me say thank you for hanging with me all of this time. Believe it or not, I started this podcast 4 years ago, and some of you have been with me since the very beginning. But I look forward to sharing more in the future and regularly over the next few months, and I hope that you will join me. So until next time, Shalom.